We're talking today with Michael Kelsey from the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. Michael, we're coming down to November 1. We're ready for the in-person balloting for the Oklahoma beef checkoff referendum. Basically, Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, you were designated by the Department of Ag to be the kind of the handler of the referendum. Tell me about that.
Yeah, Title II of state law is very clear on how this process for a commodity to walk through to achieve a state checkoff is conducted. So in that process, a petition is required for signatures of 10% of the producers of the particular commodity, and an organization has to carry that petition process forward. And so we did that back in earlier, turned those petitions in. June 14th was the hearing, I believe was the date, earlier in June, was the date where the Department of Ag said, okay, we've received these petitions from the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. We've evaluated the petitions. They meet the criteria of producers who produce beef, this particular commodity, in Oklahoma. Therefore, the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association is eligible to conduct a referendum. Now, in that law, OCA has to pay for all of the referendum costs. So the printing of the ballots, the mailing of the ballots to the extension office, the counting of the ballots. We've hired a third-party auditor who's completely separate from us, as well as even the Department of Ag, that the ballots will go to will be counted. The sampling process or the auditing process, if you will be conducted, and then those ballots will be turned directly into the Department of Ag. We have to pay for all those costs. It's designated in state law for us to do that. So as you mentioned, we're here now. November 1 is the in-person ballot process that we're upon us. I should mention that state law doesn't designate how the vote will happen in concern of an in-person or a mail-in or whatnot. When we communicate with the Department of Ag, they said, we would like you to offer two opportunities for producers to vote, one that's an in-person voting process and one that's an absentee voting in case they can't get there in person. So by consensus with the other ag groups that we've been working with, we thought a mail-in process is a great way to do that. And then the in-person process in the extension offices is the in-person way to do that. So that's how we came to this point.
We're past the mail-in ballot time, so it is now down to November 1st. Tell me about November 1st.
You bet. October 2nd through October 20 was the mail-in process, as you mentioned. We're past that. So now the only way to participate, if producers didn't participate in the mail-in, they've got to go in November 1st to any county extension office. When we set that up, we said any county extension office in Oklahoma, because we understand sometimes folks live closer to their county, to the county seat of the adjacent county than they do their own. And so, or they may be traveling, maybe they're carrying cattle to sale at the local livestock market, and they can just slip right into that local county extension office. So any county extension office during their normal business hours, and that's very important, their normal business hours, you can go into that office and vote. You do not have to carry any documentation or anything with you. Now, when you do get a ballot, you have to certify on there by your signature that you are a cattle producer, that you pay the current federal checkoff. You sell cattle, in other words. There's also a couple of other things on that ballot that must be completed according to state law. For instance, you have to indicate a volume of production. So there's four different choices of how many cattle, and they're in segments. So like one to so many, and then so many to higher, and then I think the last category is 500 and more. So you have to complete that. You have to supply your address and your phone number. And then on the right side of the ballot is where you actually vote, yes or no. I should also mention, if you pay the checkoff, you're eligible to participate. We wanted to have a robust integrity with this process. And so regarding voters who are 18 years and younger, which are, if they sell cattle, they're eligible to vote, consulting with the Department of Ag, we put on there a line that if they're 18 years old or younger, they need to put their guardian, the name of their guardian, and the phone number of their guardian. Again, that's just an effort to make sure that the integrity of this process is clear, that it's above board, and that everybody's aware of what's going on in this process.
Some questions about the younger voters mm-hmm. being raised. This actually is not unique to this particular checkoff referendum.
Absolutely not. If you go back to the 1988 referendum, which established the federal program that we currently have, all producers who would pay the referendum were eligible to vote. Subsequently, every state checkoff that's had a referendum since then, and there's about 15 states that have initiated their own state checkoff, again, they've said if you have to pay the checkoff, if you will be required to pay it, then you're eligible to vote regardless of age. So 4-H and FFA members who own cattle are eligible to participate in the process.
They go and they vote. Then we obviously wait for the results. What's the process?
Yeah, we hired a third-party auditor, as we mentioned. All the ballots, both the mail-in ballots and the in-person ballots, will go to the auditor. The auditor will then take those and obviously open them. Every ballot, by the way, is sealed in its own envelope by the voter, whether you did it in mail-in process or you do that in the extension office. So only the auditor will open those envelopes. The auditor then will categorize them, yes and no. I should say the first thing the auditor will do is make sure that the ballot's complete so that it then is certified as an official ballot. Then they'll categorize yes and no. Then they'll take a sampling of the ballots and to conduct a court. And this is done in all elections, a sampling, if you will, to make sure that there's a participation rate that's valid. So in other words, a voter may get a call from the auditor that says, it's my understanding you voted. Did you vote? Yes, I did. No, I didn't. Whatever the case may be. Great. Are you eligible to pay the checkoff? So just to confirm through a sampling process the eligibility. Once that's done, then the auditor will then turn those ballots as well as an official ballot tally into the Department of Agriculture to Secretary Jim Reese. Then it's his responsibility, according to state law, to certify the referendum, to call it, in other words. So many yes votes, so many no votes, therefore the referendum passes, therefore the referendum fails. We will never see those ballots. As far as I'm concerned, the Department of Ag may never actually see the individual ballots unless there's a challenge, obviously, but they will keep those ballots for a certain amount of time and then go through and allow that challenge, if there's a challenge, for that process to take place. But that's how that process will work.
I know that there's been some questions about, you know, the legality of these type of votes, these type of referendums. State of Oklahoma has state law in place. It's been on the books for a while.
It's very clear. It's in Title II. We worked very closely, especially with the Livestock Marketing Association. They were great partners in fashioning this legislation that would help us as commodities create a state checkoff. It's important to note that section of law in Title II is not beef specific. It's commodity specific. So, and the reason we wanted to do that is we understood there may be other commodities that would want to create a checkoff program and that they could use similar this legislation in a similar process to do so. And so that was our purpose and our effort. We had some great friends in fashioning that so that, again, we could come to this point where we could create this process.
And whether you vote yes, whether you vote no, as long as you're eligible, the challenge is get out and vote on November 1.
That's absolutely correct. We just encourage producers, cattle ranchers and farmers, if you pay the checkoff, and you will be required to pay the checkoff, go vote. Go participate in this process. You know, from a personal perspective, I'll share, in 1988, I went with my father to vote at the Grady County Extension Office, and I still remember doing that. It was a great opportunity to participate in the process that we have in the beef industry. So again, whether you're supportive or whether you oppose it, it's a great opportunity to participate in this process for Oklahoma.
And assuming, you know, let's say it was approved by the majority of cattle producers, one aspect of this that's unique to various state checkoffs, the secondary state checkoffs, it is a refundable expenditure.
That's absolutely correct. It's completely refundable. And the process by which to do that is outlined in state law as well. You have a producer would have 60 days from the time that they paid it to request a refund. If we look at other states and how they've done their refund process, it's a pretty simple, straightforward process, kind of a one page, if you will, to say, yes, I paid it on such and such date on so many cattle and so forth. Submit that to the Oklahoma Beef Council because they're the entity that will be will have the authority of this process, and then that they will initiate that refund. I think it's important to note there's no reason that needs to be supplied for the refund. So in other words, a person requesting the refund doesn't have to say, this is why I'm requesting it. There's no, they don't have to do that. So again, just a simple refund process. And I should also mention 100% refund. There's no minus shipping and handling or any processing fee or anything like that. If they sold 100 calves, they want $100 back, they'll get $100 back.